morning and welcome to St. Columba's on this Trinity Sunday for our service of Holy Communion. It's a great delight and joy to welcome visitors who are with us. All of you are very welcome indeed. Our service will follow the order as before you on your pew news, beginning on page 201. The Lord be with you. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear what our Lord Jesus Christ says. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbour as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets.
Lord, have mercy on us, and write your law in our hearts.
God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, Jesus Christ, to save us from our sins, to intercede for us in heaven, and to bring us to eternal life. Let us then confess our sins in penitence and faith, firmly resolved to keep God's commandments and to live in love and peace. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we have sinned in thought and word and deed, and in what we have left undone. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may walk in newness of life, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy on you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Collect for Trinity Sunday. Almighty and everlasting God, you have given us your servants grace by the confession of a true faith to acknowledge the glory of the eternal Trinity and in the power of the divine majesty to worship the unity. Keep us steadfast in this faith that we may evermore be defended from all adversities, for you live and reign, one God forever and ever. Amen.
Jesus in today's Gospel will tell us of the new life which the Holy Spirit brings. Paul too can rejoice that we have become adopted children of God the Father by the gift of the Spirit in union with Christ. The epistle is from Romans chapter 8, beginning at verse 12. So then, brothers and sisters, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. For you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received a spirit of adoption. When we cry, Abba, Father, it is that very Spirit bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If, in fact, we suffer with him, so that we may also be glorified with him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
A new kind of birth is necessary to carry us into a new kind of life. God's only Son unites heaven and earth, and his Spirit, moving unseen like the wind, brings us into eternal life. Hear the Gospel of our Saviour Christ according to John chapter 3, beginning at verse 1. Now there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God. Jesus answered him, Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above. Nicodemus said to him, How can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and the Spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh, and what is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I said to you, You must be born from above. The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. And so it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus said to him, How can these things be? Jesus answered him, Are you a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Very truly I tell you, we speak of what we know and testify to what we have seen, yet you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you about earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. This is the Gospel of the Lord. In the name of God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. The conversation between Jesus and Nicodemus, probably a man very familiar with religious and maybe secular law, is one of the best known and most frequently quoted passages in the New Testament, which contains these words spoken by Jesus: You must be born again, or anew, or from above. I'll return to them shortly, because they form a platform for this address. However, alongside those words, I am placing some from Shakespeare's play Hamlet, taking the liberty to change them more than slightly for the purpose of what will follow. So here goes, with apologies to lovers of Shakespearean plays. To be born or not to be born, that is the question. 2 days ago, as you will know, unless you've had your head planted firmly in the sand, people in the Republic were asked to vote on the repeal or retention of an article of the Constitution to do with abortion. The outcome of the electorate's decision is now known, with a very substantial majority voting for the repeal of what has been called the Eighth Amendment. Huge amounts of printed paper and programmes on radio and television throughout the island of Ireland have been devoted to the subject. It has been an emotive and often heated topic, highlighting the fact that people are making more informed decisions, whether in favour of change or not, with respect to moral and social issues in their daily lives. We no longer live in a confessional country, north or south, where ecclesiastical statements from any source pass unchallenged. The wind of change has been blowing through Ireland, not always for the best, but reflecting the fact that we live in an increasingly secular society where individuals demand the right to exercise their consciences. In the early days of my ministry, it would have been the norm to give clear, authoritative direction from the pulpit on how people should vote on matters that affect their personal lives and the community of which they were a part. Now I know that particularly in the presence of a younger generation of people under 40, and this is important because the majority of people who live in this island are under 40, I might expect to be told that I should not dictate as a man to women how they should control their lives with particular reference to their reproductive rights. Allied, of course, to that fact is that medical science has made enormous strides in the past 50 years. Until now, women who wish to consider the termination of a pregnancy have had to seek help in most instances from outside Ireland, unless they resort very quickly to remedies, and perhaps that isn't the appropriate word, but I'll use it, to remedies like the abortion pill, and that created problems in itself. We know that some instances deserve an enormous amount of sympathy and compassion. For example, pregnancy resulting from rape or incest. Pregnancy where the unborn has little or no chance of survival. Pregnancy, perhaps, where the mother is very severely mentally challenged. At the very least, such cases require great compassion in helping those for whom pregnancy is unwelcome or traumatic. And I'd have to say that that compassion has been sadly lacking in some instances in church circles in both North and South. I don't know how I would react if such instances affected me or my family personally. But in saying that, I do know that society must endeavour to provide a positive alternative to abortion on demand, if possible. And that does require a greater degree of compassion than exists at present. Perhaps it's regrettable that in highlighting certain acute cases, the decision was taken to incorporate into the referendum the suggestion that unrestricted abortion should be allowed where requested and demanded up to the end of the first 12 weeks of pregnancy. But in saying that, at least it is better than the position in Great Britain, where abortion on demand is allowed until the 24th week of pregnancy. And let's face it, as we reflect on this moral, ethical, and yes, very personal subject, it will inevitably become an issue where change will be demanded, and like it or lump it, change will take place here in Northern Ireland. Your age and mine, your faith, your culture, your personal circumstances may affect the way in which you respond to the subject of abortion. But let's remember, whether we are for or against in any instance, as Christians we've got to bear in mind that God is the ultimate creator and sustainer of life. In other words, in whatever circumstances may apply in life, we do not have a blank check to destroy life. I know, or I think I know, that for a woman, pregnancy can be a great joy on the one hand, or a devastating life-changing event on a few other instances. But the answer to the question I posed at the outset cannot be taken lightly. To be born or not to be born. There are some grounds, and maybe this is being highly emotive, there are some grounds for fearing that with the advances in medical science, future generations may wish to create a type of super race, children made to order, so to speak, where some will be aborted because they're considered not to be quite what is required, and others are accepted for one reason or another. That would be not only tragic, but I believe quite immoral and unchristian. Now, while I may not have supported without hesitation every argument of the No Change campaigners in the Republic's referendum, because there are difficult areas of grey in knowing what is right in every case, and also because I believe there has been a lack of compassion in this case in the South, and I think also here in the North. Having said that, I do believe that we must do as much as possible to protect the lives of unborn children. And that has to ensure that within our state, within any country, there is a network there that will help those who may have to make very, very difficult decisions in life about how to proceed in cases of pregnancy. That argument I would extend to other areas and issues of life also. For example, the legislature in the Channel Islands has been debating the issue of assisted dying. It may seem compassionate to assist people whose quality of life is dreadful and who wish, to quote Hamlet in this case correctly, to depart this mortal coil. But is it right? And furthermore, if it is the Lord who gave us life, have we justification for terminating that life? I'll say a little more, because you will realise that I'm opening up topics and subjects that are highly sensitive and require much more of our time and spiritual input than could be allowed in a 10 or 15 minute sermon. This is Trinity Sunday, as we realise, when we recognise that the God of creation, God the Father, challenges us through God the Son, Jesus Christ, and enlightens and inspires us through the Holy Spirit. We need to be touched by the Spirit so that our profession of faith, which we will make in a few moments' time, will lead to that spiritual rebirth which Jesus required of Nicodemus when he said, "You must be born again." The fact that the meeting took place at night suggests that Nicodemus may not have wished the meeting to become public knowledge. It seems evident that he was interested in the teaching of Jesus, but was reluctant to commit himself until he took his inquiries further. The point Jesus was making to Nicodemus can be summed up, I believe, in one sentence, namely that a person's Christianity depends for its continued existence upon two links being maintained: one with fellow Christians and with fellow human beings, and the other with God. And remember in all these instances and the things I'm talking about this morning that we do believe as Christians that it is in God that we live and move and have our being. Each of us here has within us a vital spark that can make our religion real and can change it from mere formality to a living and a vibrant thing. Ultimately, while that spark can be facilitated by the quality of the community or parish in which we express our faith, and I believe we all do our best, and hopefully we do, to make that as meaningful as possible here in St. Columba's. In saying that, it stems in the first place from God's Holy Spirit and from our personal response. I've heard it said, and I think this is an interesting comment, that we are not called by God to do extraordinary things, but to do ordinary things with extraordinary love. That's a worthy aspiration. Knowing that the spirit of the compassionate and loving Christ, with that, we can be better equipped to deal with the profound challenges and changes of life, including some of the very complex issues like abortion, to which I've alluded this morning. As we seek to understand and absorb into our whole psyche the mind of Christ, because that's what's central to our whole faith. What is the mind of Christ? And it's difficult sometimes to work it out. But what is the mind of Christ as I seek to apply it in day-to-day life? As we seek to do so, let's pray that our resolve will be strengthened to ascribe to God the Father, to God the Son, to God the Holy Spirit, all might, majesty, power and glory, now and forevermore. Amen.
We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation he came down from heaven, was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Using the prayers of intercession, let us pray.
We use Form 2 on page 238 and 151 in the large print and pew sheet editions. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, you promised through your Son, Jesus Christ, to hear the prayers of those who ask in faith. Lord of your people, strengthen your church in all the world. Renew the life of this diocese of Down and Dromore. In the diocesan cycle of prayer, this week we pray for the parish of Donaghcloney, the rector Brian Martin, and the deacon Andrew Irwin, asking that clergy, select vestry, and people may be guided by you as they explore and develop discipleship within the parish. We remember this, our parish of St. Columba's, those who minister and worship here, and we ask for your help in being faithful witnesses of the gospel. We pray for Bishop Harold and those who will be confirmed by him today, asking that you will build us up in faith and love. Lord, in your mercy. Lord of creation, look with favour on the world you have made. We give you thanks for all that you have created, the earth's resources and the gift of life. Help us to use these gifts wisely. We ask that you will guide the nations of the world in the ways of justice and of peace. Bless and protect those who are engaged in peacemaking and keeping peace in troubled areas of the world. Give wisdom to political leaders and those who govern. Bless Elizabeth, our Queen, and all in authority. Lord, in your mercy. Lord of our relationships, comfort and sustain the communities in which we live and work. Help us to love our neighbours as ourselves. Enable us to share love with our families and friends, and to love one another as you love us. Lord, in your mercy. Lord of all healing, relieve and protect those who are sick or suffering. Bless those who are engaged in caring for others at home, in hospitals, and in nursing homes. We give you thanks for the skills of medical professionals and those involved in the Church's ministries of healing. We bring in prayer to you those known to us who have a particular need, trusting in you to bless and sustain them. We pray for all bereaved families. We ask you to deliver from danger those who know violence and oppression, and particularly those who witness violence and persecution for their Christian faith. Lord, in your mercy. Lord of eternity, bind us together by your Holy Spirit in communion with all who, having confessed the faith, have died in the peace of Christ, that we may entrust ourselves and one another and our whole life to you, Lord God, and come with all saints to the joys of your eternal life. Amen.
We do not presume to come to this your table, merciful Lord, trusting our own righteousness, but in your manifold and great mercies, we are not worthy so much as to gather up the crumbs under your table. But you are the same, Lord, whose nature is always to have mercy. Grant us, therefore, gracious Lord, so to eat the flesh of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, and to drink his blood, that our sinful bodies may be made clean by his body, and our souls washed through his most precious blood, that we may evermore dwell in him, and he in us. Amen. Peace to you from God, our Heavenly Father. Peace from his Son, Jesus Christ, who is our peace. Peace from the Holy Spirit, the life-giver. The peace of the triune God be always with you. Lord Jesus, the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty, for all things come from you, and of your own we give you. Christ our Passover has been sacrificed for us.
Therefore, let us celebrate the feast.
The Lord is here.
His Spirit is with us.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Father Almighty, never living God, at all times and in all places, it is right to give you thanks and praise. You have revealed your glory as the glory of your Son and of the Holy Spirit, three persons equal in majesty, undivided in splendor, yet one Lord, one God, ever to be worshipped and adored. And so with all your people, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we proclaim your great and glorious name, forever praising you and singing. Are you, Father, the creator and sustainer of all things. You made us in your own image. Male and female, you created us. Even when we turned away from you, you never ceased to care for us. But in your love and mercy, you freed us from the slavery of sin, giving your only begotten Son to become man and suffer death on the cross to redeem us. He made there the one complete and all-sufficient sacrifice for the sins of the whole world. He instituted, and in his holy gospel, commanded us to continue a perpetual memory of his precious death until he comes again. On the night that he was betrayed, he took bread, and when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, and when he had given thanks to you, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink this, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." Therefore, Father, with this bread and this cup, we do as Christ your Son commanded. We remember his passion and death, we celebrate his resurrection and ascension, and we look for the coming of his kingdom. Accept through him, our great high priest, this our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving, and as we eat and drink these holy gifts, grant by the power of the life-giving Spirit that we may be made one in your holy church and partakers of the body and blood of your Son, that he may dwell in us and we in him. Through the same Jesus Christ our Lord, by whom and with whom and in whom, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honour and glory are yours, Almighty Father, for ever and ever. Amen. As our Saviour Christ has taught us, so we pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. The bread which we break is a sharing in the body of Christ.
We
We be many are one body, for we all share in the one bread. Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God who has taken away the sins of the world. Happy are those who are called to his supper. Lord, I am not worthy to receive you, but only say the word, and I shall be healed.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, may we who have received this Holy Communion worship you with lips and lives, proclaiming your majesty, and finally see you in your eternal glory. Holy and eternal Trinity, one God, now and forever. Amen. Almighty God, we thank you for feeding us with the spiritual food, the body and blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. Through him we offer you our souls and bodies to be a living sacrifice. Send us out in the power of your Spirit to live and work to your praise and glory. Amen. God, the Holy Trinity, make you strong in faith and love, defend you on every side, and guide you in truth and peace. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you and remain with you always.
Amen. Amen.
I want to thank all those of you for your great support over the GDPR, data protection process that we were all involved in. The good news is everybody wants to opt in to St. Columba's, which makes the rector very happy indeed. I do want to thank Karen Patterson, our parish administrator, for all her huge amount of work that she did to simplify that process for us. If for some reason you haven't already returned your GDPR forms, would you please do so during these coming days and no later than next Sunday, please. I also want to thank Hazel Reed for all her great help coordinating the Christian Aid door-to-door collections around the community. Many of you I know were involved in those door-to-door collections. And if you have any envelopes that you haven't yet returned, would you please see Hazel at the back of church immediately after this service? The June Columban is individualised. There is a label for every family, and it's going to every family in the parish, whether that family is a regular church attender or not. The reason for this is, in 2 weeks' time, we have our patronal festival, where we celebrate St. Columba, and also we celebrate the ministry and the blessings we receive from this, our parish church. And for all of us, that is expressed in different ways. The magazine is going to everybody, so everybody gets to see just what it is that goes on here in St. Columba's 24/7. If you haven't already got your magazine with your label on it, please be patient and just hold back at the end of this service, and we will find it for you in the bundles at the back. And then tomorrow, the magazines that have not yet been allocated will be distributed door to door across the parish, so everybody has their magazine in good time for June. Next Sunday, there will be spare copies of the magazine, which are not labelled, for those of you who want additional copies. Young families are having a wine and cheese evening here in the church on Saturday evening at 7:45. Emma McPherson is here, and do please speak to Emma if you would like to go, simply to help with catering purposes. And we're hoping it will be a nice warm summer's night and we can be outside there in the garden area. And finally, the 1st of July, parish excursion to Rathlin Island. We're going for church. I'm taking the service in St. Thomas's Church at 11:30. Please sign your name on the list. Bring your own picnic and the afternoon, a free-for-all as you wish in Rathlin, and then we come back on the 5:30 ferry. For those who are not going to Rathlin, there will be a full schedule of services here as per normal, 8:15, 10:30 and 7. And now we sing hymn number 373, To God Be the Glory.
Thank you.
peace to love and serve the Lord.